It's Friday, and it is time for The Mystery Project and another episode of Peggy Delaney, written by James W. Nichol. These are stories of a newspaper columnist who discovers that her writing tends to reflect her own life. Heaven help her. This time, Peggy comes close to being a stalker in order to track her story and tries to change the ending before the headlines break. Crossing the Line is episode 3 of Peggy Delaney, starring Kyra Harper as Peggy.
If you have something confidential you want to pass on, just leave your name and number. The walls have ears. I'll get back to you. If you're calling to give me fulsome, unqualified praise for my column, please feel free. If you're calling to scream at me, fascist, communist, cop-loving, cop-hating, pro-lesbian, anti-lesbian, crypto-based retarded, go for it. After all, this is a quasi-democracy.
Hello? Peggy Delaney. Why haven't you called? Call, please. 743-2810. It's about the fires.
Oh!
What?
I don't like it.
What?
It stinks.
What now?
This color, it's too avocado.
You picked it out.
It looked better in the store. Amber will hate it.
It's fine.
It's too dark. It'll be like living in a cave. It'll depress her.
Depress her?
Yeah.
You want to see depressed? I bought sheets, bedspread, pillow slips, everything to go with this color. The lampshade.
I'm taking this paint back. They can remix. Two shades lighter.
I can't stand it.
What?
Everything.
She's not even here yet.
I should have left her room the way it was. A futon and a sleeping bag.
Oh, well, that was okay, I guess, when she visited you for 3 or 4 days. But she's coming for what? Till Christmas. 4 months. It's a long time for your daughter to be curled up in a futon like little orphan Annie.
The point is, that's the way she liked it. And now I'm changing everything. I'm making her visit into some big deal. It's like after all these years of being this long-distance mom, I want something more, you know? I'm putting pressure on her, and she'll sense that right away. Going back to the paint store, huh?
Yeah.
Can I come?
No.
Hello?
Hi, this is Peggy Delaney from the Toronto Tribune. I received some calls.
Oh.
So, are you the person who called?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm sorry you had to leave so many messages. I've been taking a few days off. So, that last message, you said something about the fires? Hello?
Yes?
Are they the fires I think they are? The garage fires?
Yes.
Are you still there? I'll come over now. I'll be by myself.
Yes.
So, Mrs. Miles.
I can't believe it. Peggy Delaney is sitting in my living room.
Big as life. Well, as you can imagine, I get a lot of calls, most of them from the planet Mars. But you seem to me to really...
Can I get you something? Tea?
Oh, no, thanks.
Coffee?
No, I'm fine.
A drink, maybe. Sherry?
Okay.
Two sherries.
So, first question. Can I assume you're not the person setting the garage fires?
No. Of course not.
I didn't think so.
Peggy Delaney. Do you have a family?
Uh-huh. A daughter? She lives with her dad and stepmom in Vancouver.
There you are.
Oh, thanks. Cheers.
Cheers.
So, how about you?
Me? Yes. Me. I have one son. His name is Sebastian. He's very bright.
Uh-huh.
He's very gentle. So gentle, like a lamb. He's a good person.
Mm-hmm. And your son, Sebastian, he knows something about the fires?
I look for your column all the time. I read it all the time.
Thanks. And does he know something?
He lives downstairs. Some nights, Sebastian never comes home. He says he's in love. Some woman somewhere. I used to wash his clothes. Now he washes them. So I wait until he goes to work. And I go down there and smell them. You must think, this insane woman, this mother, going down and smelling her grown son's clothes. But I do. And sometimes, heavy, oily, dirty smoke, even on his dressing gown, slippers.
Oh, well, Mrs. Miles, maybe since he lives downstairs, it's fumes from the furnace.
He lives like a hermit.
Well, I thought you said he goes to work.
He gets called in sometimes. This company that installed carpets. He graduated from the University of Toronto, but there was no work. He's 31 years old now. He sleeps most days. He walks around the block. I make him eat properly. I insist. And he sits there, miles and miles away.
You know, it might be just your imagination about the garage fires. It's okay. I mean, I'm not disappointed.
When he was little, after his father died, maybe he was 5 or 6 years old, he started to set fires.
Oh.
I thought he was sad, you know, and he stopped after a little while. His father would crinkle up that silver paper inside his cigarette pack. Have you ever seen that done? You light it on fire and turn out all the lights, and it sparkles all over and glows in the dark like 1,000 tiny fires. He would say, "We're sitting high on a hill, Sebastian, looking down at a city." And Sebastian would stare and stare. And you could see the glow of the city reflected in his eyes. And his father would say, "It's a city on fire."
Her name is Luna.
Sounds like it.
Luna Miles. She's Portuguese. Parents brought her here when she was a little girl. Married an older guy. When he died, raised her son on his life insurance proceeds. Working in a bindery and carving her house up into apartments. And she believes in me.
I rest my case. You're dealing with a fruitcake.
She's not a fruitcake. She's one of those mothers so wired into her kids. She's like a tuning fork. Those mothers always know. Anyway, I went downstairs with her, into his place. It was kind of weird. There were notebooks all over, you know, like school scribblers. He's filled up piles of them. It looked like a kind of manifesto or like Marx's Das Kapital. All about social organization and economics and the role of labor in a post-revolutionary world. I smelled his clothes, too.
You know what we're discussing here? The twilight of the free press.
She was right. There was a kind of heavy, smoky smell. And gasoline.
So you think you've got the guy the whole city's looking for. The garage burner, an exclusive. Maybe you'll even get on hard copy.
What's the matter with you?
What did you promise her?
The best lawyer I can find, paid for by the Trib. And that the coverage, at least in our paper, will be understanding.
For which?
She and her son only talk to us. Of course, I have to confirm that he is the garage burner.
And how are you going to do that?
Go undercover. What? I've done it before.
Sure.
Are you in?
No. I'm out.
Why?
Because you know you can't control what happens to her son. Once you expose him, you're lying. Because you're buying a story. And because we're supposed to report the news, not make it.
They like it upstairs. If we don't get something sensational into this paper soon, we won't have to worry about...
Because it's about Peggy Delaney, right in the middle of things. Not through analysis and insight and biting commentary, but through some cheap two-bit scoop about catching a firebug. You'll be half the news story itself. Just one more cheap media huckster. I thought you were better than that.
Why am I here?
Because Nick wouldn't come.
No, I mean, why would I, presumably in my right mind, say yes to sitting in a car in the middle of the night watching a house of someone I don't know on the remote chance that someone else I don't know does something I don't want to know about?
It's only midnight.
Ah, thank you.
Nick is a dinosaur. Once upon a time, he was a top political reporter for the New York Times, stationed in Paris. He doesn't realize times change. People don't read for information. They consume for emotional jolts. Television's turned us all into junkies. I love him and respect him. He's probably right. I don't know what I'm doing. Is that all you can say?
No, I can say, in what particular area of your life do you not know what you're doing now?
Here, this. What if it is him? What if he is a pyromaniac? He's burned down over 30 garages, cars, sheds. He's almost killed people. They'll eat him alive. I can't help him.
Oh, I don't know. If it is him, just finding and stopping him, that's helping him, isn't it? Meanwhile, you got a hell of a story. On the other hand, of course, he could be just some poor schmuck who wanders around with a very peculiar D.O. problem. I don't even know he's in there.
Because his mother called me.
So we just wait here, and pretty soon he'll come out with a can of gasoline and a pack of matches. Is that the idea?
What do we know? There's been at least one, sometimes two fires set each week for the last 5 months.
Will you blow that smoke out the window? You're giving me secondhand cancer here. Good.
Always in the same general area. The cops have set up a special task force.
So how does he continue to get away with it?
Well, I don't know. I know when. Between 2 and 4 in the morning. So relax. It's going to be...
Look. Who's that?
What? Who?
That guy. There. He just came out of the house.
From the door at the side?
Yeah.
What do you know? That's Sebastian.
Come in.
He's still not home yet?
No. Why? You look so tired.
I was up all night.
Sit down. Please. Oh. Would you like a sherry?
Yeah. Oh.
So, like I told you on the phone, we followed him.
Yes?
He took a bus up Greenwood to Girard. He was carrying that kind of overnight bag.
His black and white shoulder bag. He carries it all the time. Here you are.
Oh, thanks. The thing is, he got off the bus and walked a couple of blocks off Girard into this residential area. And into this rooming house.
Rooming house?
Yeah. Well, there's lots of them all through that whole area. Pay by the week, get a room and a hot plate.
But he doesn't need a room.
I watched all night. He didn't come out. Luna, this is what I'm thinking. There's rooming houses scattered all through that area. Is it possible?
Oh, my God.
What?
It's Sebastian.
Mom? Is that book I sent away for? Oh. Hello.
Hi. Sebastian, this is
Mary Brown. I'm collecting for the Salvation Army. Red Shield.
Oh.
And having a glass of sherry, which you don't get to do in every house. Good thing, too. Anyway, I was just going.
I was telling her all we can afford to give goes to Sacred Heart.
Which is absolutely understandable.
The Salvation Army.
That's right.
They do good work. I've always admired them.
Yeah, so do I. That's why I don't mind donating some time.
They care about people.
Mm-hmm.
In jail, on the streets, in hospitals. They're not afraid to go where the people need them.
No.
Anyway, I'll be downstairs, Mom. Bye.
Bye. All right, dear.
So, that's Sebastian.
That's Sebastian.
What time is it?
3:15.
Oh, God. I want to go home.
Well, you can't.
Why?
Because, as I explained last night, it's too dangerous to be sitting alone in a car in the middle of the night. I need a man.
Yeah, but I'm gay.
That's no excuse. Besides, the fires are always set between 2 and 4. At 4:15, we can go home.
Hello. There's not a light on in the place. He's asleep. Everyone in the rooming house is asleep. Everyone in the street. Everyone in the city except us.
Hello, folks.
Oh, hi, officer.
Is there a problem?
No, why?
You've been sitting here for a while. It's past 3 a.m. Just wondering.
Have you been watching?
I noticed.
No, everything's fine. We're just talking.
I think she's getting up the nerve to sexually molest me.
Uh-huh. Good night.
That was stupid.
Sleep deprivation. I'm hysterical.
Where'd he come from? They don't patrol on foot. Where's his cruiser? I bet he's part of the fire detail.
Then why doesn't he watch the house and we can go to bed?
Okay, he's gone. Oh, why don't you open the glove compartment? There's a bottle in there.
Oh, yeah?
Just open it, okay? I'm dying of thirst here. What are you looking at me like that for?
I thought you said, since Amber's coming to visit, they're trying to get off this.
So, Sue, open the glove compartment, would you please? It's my car. All right, I'll...
No. I'll do it.
Here.
Bilby's finest.
Thanks. Want a drink?
No.
Oh. There. Okay?
Okay, what?
Sometimes, Green, you can be such a shit. Okay, you can put it back now if it bothers you so much. It's hard, Bernie.
I know.
I can't quit. It doesn't work. I stop for a few days, then I get drunk. Then I feel guilty. It's terrible. I swear I'll never drink again, and last for a few days, then I get drunk, and it all starts all over again.
Sweetheart.
So I put myself on this rigid schedule. Nothing but fruit juice and coffee in the morning. No matter how, well, like I might be shaky. One drink at noon, one after work, one before supper, one after, and one before I go to bed. And that's it. It's working.
Great. As long as it's working.
Yeah.
Of course, you just broke your schedule now. Sorry. Sweetheart, you can't beat it alone.
I know this guy. I know all about him.
Like the garage burner?
Uh-huh. There's this line you cross in your mind, somewhere inside. You can't get back. No matter how you try, you just can't get back.
Well, not by yourself. That's why you...
Oh, need... God!
Oh, God, what?
Crouch down. See him?
Where? Is that him?
Yeah, he just came out.
What's he carrying?
Garbage bag. He's in his slippers. A housecoat.
He's just looking for a garbage can.
That's what you're supposed to think.
He's looking
All around. He didn't see us.
Where's he going?
Around behind. There's a lane back there.
What are we going to do?
I don't know.
You're going to follow
him. I don't know. Go tackle him.
Me? Tackle him?
Go on.
No. You tackle him.
Bernie.
No. I don't do tackles. I'm sorry.
It was a great fire.
Was it?
A double garage, a pickup, and a Toyota.
And the perpetrator?
I haven't said anything to anyone yet. I haven't slept yet.
And you better get on it before he sets another fire. And you become an accessory.
Yeah. You were right. Once I go to the cops and break the story, then TV, newspapers, everybody's going to go into a feeding frenzy. That poor woman.
Uh-huh. Of course, you knew that, didn't you? Look, it was inevitable anyway.
What?
A great big mess for her. But you can help. Talk to him yourself. Get him to go to the police. No takedowns. No risk of anything going really wrong. If you can get him into custody in one piece, then that mother will have a lot to thank you for.
Oh, yeah. I was going to do that anyway.
Good. Make sure you get the brass upstairs to send along a lawyer.
I don't want to spook him. I'll see him first.
Alone. Is that a good idea?
That's what I promised her. At least I can stick to my deal.
Are you comfortable?
Uh-huh.
That chair has a spring loose.
No, it's fine.
Okay. You saw me then?
Yes.
How did I look?
Dressing gown, slippers, gasoline, I guess, and a garbage bag.
Oh.
Sebastian, it's all over.
I know.
I'm going to try, I mean, really, really try, to see that you get the very best representation. My paper will pay for it, and also the help you need. You do know you need help, don't you?
When a society is morally bankrupt, it needs to be burned down. You do know that, don't you?
Is that what those fires are really about? Setting garages on fire? I wonder if that's all you're feeling inside.
How would you know what I'm feeling inside?
Sunlight. Just a little. Some compulsion, maybe. Some distraction from pain, maybe. Some excitement.
All this keeps me very busy, you know. Sometimes I have two or three different rooms going at the same time. I have to sleep in each one a few times to establish normalcy so people get used to me, you see? And after the fires, I always go back to the same place a few more nights. And I just fade away. Like people fade away in those places. Like faded figures on old wallpaper. Sometimes I wake up and I can't remember my name. When I set a fire, Then, I feel alive. More alive than anyone in the world. But soon afterwards, pieces fall off. Little by little, and I lose myself again. I have to go upstairs, sit at the supper table, so my mother will call me by my name. I'm reduced to just the sore, this itch, and it hurts. It hurts until I start another fire, and then it doesn't. And then it does. And I have to do it again.
You're lucky, Sebastian. Because you can stop now.
Yes.
Amber! Amber!
Oh, hi, Mom.
Oh, sweetheart. Oh, it's good to see you.
Look at you.
Mom.
You're telling me.
Summer, yeah.
It's just, I'm so happy, that's all. So, I bounced around, got appointments with three schools. Hello?
Peggy.
Oh, hi, man. What's up?
Thought you should know. Sebastian Howe somehow got away today at his bail hearing.
Oh?
Yeah. Just long enough to set another fire?
Mom, what's out?
Hi, what's wrong? Oh, nothing. Sorry.
Watch where you go.
Yeah.
What's up? Are you crying?
No. I'll be all right. Just work. Just about this crazy person. He can't stop.
What?
Fighting fires. Oh, it's too strong. It's just too strong.
You've been listening to Crossing the Line by James W. Nichols. This week's episode of Peggy Delaney. Kyra Harper played Peggy, Katerina Scorsone was Amber, J.W. Carroll was Nick, and John Stalker was Bernie. Marcia Bennett was Luna Miles, David Storch was Sebastian Miles, and Roy Lewis was the cop. The music was composed by Milan Kimlicka and conducted by Bruce Harvey. The performers were David Young, Kevin McKenzie, and Rick Whitelaw. The recording engineer was Greg DeClute, with sound effects by Darko Grandich. The associate producer was Leanne McDonald, and the program was produced and directed by Bill Howell, who's the executive producer of The Mystery Project.